Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of Sports by the Book will join us. We will go over the day that was in Major League Baseball, look ahead to day two and all of these game twos in Major League Baseball. And as we're recording this, Reds and Dodgers are playing. So it looks like the Dodgers are in good shape to win that game, barring a Reds comeback. And that might be a very quick series. But we have to start with the Yankees and the Red Sox in what was just a disastrous, excruciating loss if you're the Yankees. And you know what I was thinking? If it was the old format with only two wild cards, this would be a one-game playoff. It would still be the Yankees is the four, the Red Sox is the five, the three division winners get the bye. And think of how dramatic that game would have been on Tuesday night with the Yankees up 1-0, free cruising. You start to count the outs in these big playoff games. You start to count them down, but these countdowns are not as easy when you don't have the bullpen to go to. And the story is Boone just once again going to the bullpen too quickly. 102 pitches, not 122 pitches. He's freed. He led the league in wins. He's your ace. You got to have the game. You got to let him finish that inning. He's cruising. It's not like he was in any trouble. Granted, the home plate umpire cost him a handful of pitches, a number of pitches, a couple of times, different at bats. He struck out Navarez, or should have struck out Navarez, the Red Sox catcher. Called balls that added pitches to his arm, but still, you got to let him go. 110, 115. If after 115, you say, oh, I'm not asking to throw 120 or 130, but let him throw 115, let him finish the inning, let him at least get a base runner on, give him a reason to take you out. I thought that was a bad decision. I thought it in the moment, it completely backfired. Weaver came in and Weaver was awful. Weaver, who, you know, everyone thinks he's adorable, he thinks he's a stand up comedian, always, you know, quotes where he tries to be funny. He was awful. Walks Rafaela. Can't walk him there. Couldn't put him away. Annoying me with Weaver, too. This is a random observation. Every time he threw a pitch, he would turn his back to the catcher and walk away and then get the ball. That annoyed me, but he was awful. And all of the Yankees' flaws were on display. Manager with Boone, pulling Fried too early. Sloppy fundamentals defensively with Judge and Grisham. I don't know if it was laziness or just indecision and hesitation of whose ball it was. That ball should have never been a double. And then the Red Sox take a 2-1 lead. And the 3-1 lead added on with the Bregman single turned out to be huge. Even though the Yankees didn't score in the ninth, they get the bases with loaded with nobody out. I never thought they were winning. I didn't think, I don't know. It's hard enough to get three hits in a row. When you have three hits in a row and you don't score and you have to get that fourth hit, I thought Stanton was a bad matchup. I thought his bat was a little slow for Chapman. Chapman threw some nasty pitches, and Chapman was throwing really, really hard. And I didn't expect either of the lefties, Grisham or Chisholm, to do anything. Chisholm's arguing an obvious strike on his at-bat on that strike, too. So I think the Yankees' flaws are on full display here because, I mean, look at it this way, and this is the difference in the game. It's not just Boone versus Cora. The Yankee ace, and it was a great pitching matchup. I mean, those are great pitches, great, just outstanding pitching from both sides. The Yankee guy threw 102. The Red Sox guy, Crochet, who was fantastic in the game, through 117 in his 117th. 100 miles an hour. I think they clocked it at 100.5 on the black, full count, runner on, and he throws strike three, 100.5 on the black. I mean, that's the difference right there, the extra 15 pitches. The extra 15 pitches. If Fried can get you through the inning, who knows? Maybe you go to a different reliever. And by the way, I would not have gone to Weaver. I know there's a lot of this is second guessing. It's easy to say after the fact. Weaver had a 9.64 ERA in September. I would not have gone to Weaver. Weaver was terrible the last month of the season. I don't trust him. I know there's not a lot of great options. Even though there's a lot of options, there's not a lot of good ones. Do you really trust Devin Williams, even though he's been better lately? Probably too early for Bednar. Then you get into the Dovals or the Tim Hills of the world. They have a lot of options. They just don't have, you know, Mariano Rivera's not walking through that door. And I just thought it was too early of a pull. And the difference in the game is the Red Sox trusted their guy to throw 117 and said, hey, we'll live or die with Crochet. They lived. And the Yankees chose to go with the bullpen, and we know how that went. So, and look, Yankees could have traded for Crochet in the winter. That's another thing. They're just not as aggressive making these moves in free agency and big-time trades. If they had Crochet and Crochet was on the mound for the Yankees tonight, Boone would have pulled him after 100 pitches, too. It's just they overthink it sometimes. Boone is not a good manager. Now, some of it, he just doesn't have good touch, good luck, whatever you want to call it. I've said in the past, if Boone purchased a funeral home, people would suddenly stop dying. He just seems to have a knack for pulling the wrong string, pushing the wrong button. And once again, he pushed the wrong button here on Tuesday night. I wouldn't count the Yankees out. Rodon versus Bayo, Tuesday. Yankees land $1.70. Clear pitching advantage for the Yankees. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Certainly wouldn't lay $1.70. I actually like this. At DraftKings, you can bet Rodon plus 186 to record the win. I think that's a good bet because I think, you know, look, it's an elimination game. If he's in trouble third, fourth inning, they're going to treat it all hands on deck. But I think they'll give him some rope. I think Rodon will pitch a good game. I think they'll get to Bayo. And I just like that plus 186 as opposed to laying the $1.70 on the money line. Look, there's plenty of ways to win the 170 on the money line where you're not going to get the win with Rodon. But I think there's some value there. And maybe if you think the Yankees are going to win, maybe you just take half a unit and put it on the Yankees at the 170. And then you sprinkle a little, you know, half or 40% of your bet, however you want to play it, on Rodon to get the win. I think that's the best bet of all. But I do think the Yankees win. I think game three is up, is anybody's guess. Schlittler probably be a million arms out of the bullpen. Red Sox will throw by committee. But I do think the Yankees will win and force a game three. I said before game one, Red Sox plus 155 was too high with the better pitcher going in game one. And it played out that way. Outstanding game. A lot of drama. Yankees and Red Sox always delivers. And this playoff day was good. Again, we're recording this as Dodgers, Reds is going on. Doesn't look like that's going to be a classic. But Cubs and Padres was a well-pitched game. Tigers, Cleveland was a lot of fun with Skubal against Gavin Williams. And boy, you cannot make these totals low enough. First of all, the unders do well in the first three games here. It doesn't look like it's going to do well here as it's 5-0 Dodgers in the fourth as we're recording this. But the unders come home in the first three games, 2-1, 3-1, and then 3-1, a game that was 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. I mean, just all low scoring games. The wild card rounds in general, the unders have done really well. You know, the 3-year history of this since it started in 2022, I knew they did it 1 year in that 2020 in the COVID as a little bit of a trial run. But looking ahead to Wednesday, and I was going to say, you can't make the totals low enough, and you can't make the totals low enough in Cleveland, Detroit. These teams, it just seems like every game is 2-1, 3-2. They're well-pitched. Nobody can hit. That being said, Cleveland minus 126, total 6.5. Tanner Bibee against Casey Mize. I mean, 6.5 is usually reserved for the elite pitchers. It's usually resolved for, I mean, think of it this way. Crochet and Fried was 7 on Tuesday. And now we have Mize and Bibee. I mean, I know it's two different lineups. I would actually only look towards the over 6.5. Wouldn't be a big bet, but just on principle. I mean, if it's 3-3, you go over the 6.5. So I generally tend to lean unders with this stuff, but that's one where I would not bet an under. Padres looking to stave off elimination. Enough with the Padres. Everyone picks the Padres. I'm guilty of it too. I thought they're going to win the West. You know, we had Jensen Lewis on. We had Nick Larson. Everyone picks the Padres. I didn't hear anyone pick the Cubs, and I am 100% guilty. I'm calling myself out. 100% guilty of this. We got to get over the Padres. They can't hit. They just have no offense. No Laureano kills them. They're up 1-0 in the fifth. Gave up back-to-back homers, and that was pretty much that. Pivetta pitched a good game up until then. I would actually, because Pivetta fell apart the way he did, not fell apart, but just the back-to-back homers, and Cease has really struggled second, third time through the lineup. I know it's low. Boy, they've really adjusted these out props properly. Cease's out prop is 13.5. Does he get 5 innings? I mean, this is basically, does he get 2 outs in the fourth, or 2 outs in the fifth inning? Or one out. Four innings gives you 12. And then, so what, 2 outs into the fifth. I don't know. I would probably look towards an under. I think this could be a scenario where you get him through 4. And unless he's really good and he's, you know, cruising into the fifth, I could see him getting pulled after 4. But boy, you're really leaving very little margin for error. Maybe you play under 6.5 strikeouts is a better way to attack that figure. He's not going to have a long leash. If he's not going to have a long leash, it's going to be hard for him to get to 7K. So I actually like that. Now that I'm thinking about it more, I'm talking it through. Under 6.5K is probably a better way to play that. But looks like Kittredge is going to open a reliever, and then we'll see maybe if they go Imanaga after that. There's not a lot of clarity on what the Cubs are going to do with their rotation. But right now, Kittredge is listed as the starter. I don't have a great feel for that one. First of all, I think Cleveland wins, and I think we get a game three, but I do think Detroit gets a split. I think Detroit probably wins like a third game here. So I think Cleveland wins. I think the Cubs win. I'm rooting for these game threes. I'd like to see game threes. We haven't had a lot of game threes. That's another trend since this wild card round started. We haven't had a lot of game threes, so maybe we're kind of due here to get some. I do think Yankees Red Sox is going three, and I'll say the Cubs win, but I'll say Cleveland forces a game three. Don't feel great. Wouldn't bet either one of them. But I do like, from a betting standpoint, that over 6.5 Tigers Guardians just on principle. And Ramirez, a couple things. Ramirez to walk was 12-1. Actually, FanDuel posted a late line, 17-1. He walked in his second at bat, And it was the bet was, would he walk in his first at bat? He walked in his second at bat, and he was 3-2 in his first at bat before he struck out. So that was a tough one if you had that. But shout out to Nick Larson. He said, look at these pitch velocity markets. Kwan never swings at the first pitch, and Scooble just unloads a fastball. So 98 plus paid like over 4-1. I saw some people, Buddhist Man and some other people, tailed along with that. That was a good call by Nick. And the Ramirez walk did not quite get home. But Tigers got home, like the Red Sox. Some of these other ones were pretty good. It was just a good day of baseball. It's got a March Madness feel to it. When the games start, you know, Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern, and then the last one starts Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern, basically goes until midnight. I mean, basically 1 o'clock until midnight, these games go. So it's a lot of fun. And again, just an awful, awful loss by the Yankees. But best bets, I'll call it two. I'll go over three. Over 6.5 Tigers, Guardians. Rodon to get the win, plus 186. And I'll go under 6.5 C strikeouts just because I think the leash is going to be very, very short with them and their stacked pen. C struggles third time through the lineup, and they're facing elimination. So this is it. It's amazing. The season starts in February. You play every day, April, May, June, July, August, September. You grind out everything you can do just to get in the playoffs. You lose one game, and just like that, you're facing elimination. I mean, somebody... just like that, Cleveland did all that rallying to win the division, this great historic comeback, and they could be out by 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. I mean, it happens so, so quickly. It's talked about this in other sports where the season is so long, getting there is so hard and so arduous, and you're just gone so quickly if things don't go well for you in the playoffs. And we've obviously got a number of teams looking at that scenario here on Wednesday, but should be another good day of baseball. Let's see what Jeff Parles thinks about all of this and more. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. He is our buddy. He is back. Sports by the Book is where you can catch him. It is our boy, Jeff Parles. Jeff, exciting day of baseball. Reds Dodgers is going on right now. It doesn't look like the Reds are up for the fight, but we got to start with the Yankees. The decision to pull Fried, I thought it was too early. Let him throw 110, 115, lose with your best pitcher. Just go down, live or die with him. The Red Sox did it. What was your take, and how's it going? Good to see you, man.
Well, it's first off, good to see you, Will. It's happy to be back. It's been a little bit. But the schedule is finally linked up, which is awesome, which is great. And it's a time of the year that I expected to be having rooting interest, and the Mets did their normal nonsense. Legitimately Redux 2007, the exact same way, but we don't need to do that again. On the Yankees, it's a difference in the two managers, right? Like, that's all it is. It's that Alex Cora is a dude who knows what he's doing, and it's a guy in Aaron Boone who still manages by a binder. And playoff baseball is so important to go off how the game is going. There's no formula. Like, look at the games today that have already been completed. Like, look at the three games. Forget the Reds-Dodgers game. I'm not surprised that the Reds are not up for the moment. They shouldn't have been here anyway. They're only there because the Mets are inept. But A.J. Hinch pushes Scooble to the brink. Pushes him all the way. And then Vest gets the last four outs somehow in that game without giving up that run in the ninth inning. Craig Counsell, I thought, took Boyd out too early. But he was right in putting Palencia in. Like, the way he managed that game, he managed it correctly, even though he ended up with Keller at the end, and Keller did the job in the ninth inning. But when he put Palencia in, he had to do it. Good job on that. By the way, just so you know how my betting day went, I had a live in-game, will the Tiger-Guardian game go to extra innings? Yes. And I had Padres first five. So that's how my day went today. So just two just absolutely ridiculous ones. But managing in the playoffs there's no book to it. And Alex Cora pushed his ace, especially once he had the lead. Once you grab the lead that late, Alex Cora knew, I cannot lose this game. I have to win this game, because even though Rodon is better than Bayo and Schlittler is better than whoever the Red Sox are going to throw in game three, I have to win this game for us to have a shot to win this series. By the way, I had the Red Sox pre-series anyway. But it's on Aaron Boone. It just goes back to Aaron Boone is a guy who does not think for himself. He's a guy who manages by the binder, and it cost him. And it cost him. And he went to the wrong reliever first. He should have went to Cruz first. That would have been the first guy out of the bullpen tonight for me. And he went to Weaver, and Weaver blew up on him.
Totally agree. No arguments. I didn't like going to Weaver. I didn't like pulling Fried. Do you think they ultimately bounce back and win game two? I wouldn't lay the $1.70. I mentioned in the open plus 186 to record a win is not a bad alternative. Maybe just split your bet one way or another. I do think we'll get a game three. You can never totally trust this Yankee team. I mean, you just can't. If it's you know, if it's 4-1 Red Sox in the third or fourth inning tomorrow, would anyone be shocked? I wouldn't. But I do think we get a third game tomorrow. What's your take?
I lean no. I think the one series on the board that I like to extend out now is Cleveland and Detroit. But yeah, I think the Yankees are going to lose. I think Brian Bello has been better of late. Rodon, I know Rodon's had some big starts in his career. I never trust that dude. I just never trust him in big spots. And I just go back to Boone. I don't trust Aaron Boone. Like, that's all it is. And it's funny. I think Boone has done a tremendous job with this team. Like, they were dead in July, Will. They were dead. They were dead even in parts of August. And they damn near won the AL East and damn near got the one seed. I think Boone did a tremendous job getting that team to where they're at right now. But it's just what he is in big games, Will. You are not winning a championship with him as your manager. And we know that Steinbrenner and Cashman are never firing him unless Steinbrenner fires both the guys. So I like the Red Sox to close it. We can get to the other series, but I think that is a great plus price on Brian Bello, and you could take your shot there. And I'm sitting very nicely with a plus 170 ticket on the Red Sox to win the series right now. I feel real good about
that. Who had plus 170?
Westgate out here did.
Boy, that's a fat price to have the better pitcher in game one, and the Yankees don't really have a third star. I mean, Schlittler's been good, but that's still, I mean, he's still Cam Schlittler. He's still been in the big leagues for a handful of starts. Ah, man, I saw here on the East Coast was plus 155, plus 170.
South Point, where Sports by the Book's out of it, plus 165. Like there were some fat price. There were fat prices across the board on these wild card series. I mean, look, yeah, the Dodgers are probably going to win. I made the case on Tuesday morning. I'm like, look, the Dodgers are probably going to win the series at minus 300, and sure as hell looks like they're going to. But plus 260, plus 250 in a best of three baseball series. Like you're almost principled to take that, even if the Reds have next to no shot. Like the freaking White Sox could win two out of three.
The dog had, even though Green spit up, threw up all over himself. That when you're getting plus 260 in a best of three, and the dog has pitching like Green, Abbott, and Lindor. I mean, whether it
well,
or not,
well, Tito, Tito, Tito's throwing his sixth best starter in Littell in game two. So
why
so
is that? I saw that. I assume that was just an opener.
Why? Because Will, it's both the Tito. Look, Tito's stuck. And again, Tito is stuck in the early 2000s on this. Like, I don't care that Lodolo pitched on Sunday. You throw Abbott in game two. And if you need someone to back him up, you back him up, and you have a Lodolo ready for game three. Like, again, it's not going to get to game three because I thought the Dodgers made a mistake by throwing Snell in game one as opposed to Ohtani, because Ohtani's just been so locked in over the last few weeks. And now, actually, it looks like Roberts is going to end up getting paid out here because Ohtani, he's going to have Ohtani twice against the Phillies now, which that's a big deal in that series with how well Ohtani's pitched recently.
Yeah, and I didn't think of that. Abbott went Saturday. Lodolo went Sunday. So you are stretching him, but boy, Littell.
I don't care if Abbott's never pitched on 3 days rest. I don't care if Lodolo's never pitched on 3 days rest. You cannot throw Brady Singer or Zach Littell when you have those two dudes in your rotation. You just can't.
I would see what Burns can give me, even if it's just for 3 or 4 innings. I mean, I would do anything.
Sure, why not? That's better than Littell. Yeah. And if Burns blows up, so be it. I'm with you on that, Will.
We can just go a minute or two on each of these. You don't have to go long. But Guardians laying about $1.25, total 6.5. I was saying earlier, you can't make the total low enough. But then you look, 6.5, 3-3, it automatically goes over. Mize and Bybee is not exactly, Randy Johnson and Pedro Martinez. That being said, these teams can't score. They can't hit. I don't know. I like the over more than anything. I do think we probably get a third game. It's a little anticlimactic. It's a little odd. These teams battle to the death for the division. Detroit's only punishment was not getting home field in this series. But I don't know. Yeah. What's your takeaway on this game and the rest of the series?
I like Detroit to win the series now. I thought that actually that Cleveland was gonna hit a ground ball that hit a pebble that got past someone to win. I got on the Brewers a ton during the summer of being a luck box. There's not a word to describe what the Guardians have been in September. There's not a word of the amount of breaks, the amount of luck, the amount of nonsense that had to happen for them. Forget to just make the playoffs, but to win the division. I hope the Tigers win the series because what the Guardians have done is not good for anybody. Like, it's not. Unless if you have Guardians tickets or a fan of the team, what they have done this last month is not good for anybody other than that franchise and their own fans and people who bet on them. So I hope Detroit wins. I think Cleveland wins game two. Tigers find a way in game three to get it done. Even though, boy, Jack Flaherty's been awful on the road this year, Will. And he's probably who you're going with in game three, right? If it gets there, like, that's a little scary. I think whoever wins it, if Cleveland wins this series, I think they get smashed by Seattle. I think that is a three-game sweep that's not competitive. If the Tigers get out of that, you got Scooble in game two and game five. Like, you got to find one non-Scooble start. If you're Detroit, you're live in that series against the Mariners, who I have pre-playoffs in the World Series. I have a whole bunch of AL tickets on them as well. So I'd love to see them get there. But I think Detroit finds a way in this series. Well, I think Cleveland wins game two.
Pretty much a pick 'em, -111 for the Cubbies, total against 6.5. Cease, they're listing Kittredge. I would imagine this is just an opener, and then they go to Imanaga. I don't know if you have any definitive word on that. And same times, by the way, as Tuesday. So 1 o'clock Eastern for Tigers, Guardians, 3 o'clock Eastern for Padres, Cubs, and then which is a weird ABC game. It's weird to watch a baseball game on ABC, but do you have any take on this game?
I really like the Padres today, and they didn't get it done, Will. And again, I credit Craig Counsell. He managed a really, really good game. To get Boyd out of there when he did, and then the bullpen was spotless. The Padres lost that game when Schilt inexplicably had Jackson Merrill sacrifice bunt with no one out in an inning. What are we doing here? You can't be bunting your cleanup hitter. I'm sorry. Like if it's Cronin, like if you're at the bottom of the order, if it's Fermin or Cronenworth, fine. You can't be bunting Jackson Merrill. Like, what are we doing here? It's going to be Kittredge, and boy, I will. Imanaga should have given up 13 runs against the Mets last Thursday. I mean, he had nothing. So that scares me a lot. Like, I like the Padres in this series because the Cubs lost Horton. Like, I thought that was just such a monster loss for the Cubs. And I think it will hurt them if they get to a series with Milwaukee. But, man, for the way the Padres lost that game one, and Dylan Cease has been very untrustworthy, and any of you Darvish who's been equally as untrustworthy in game three, like, it's hard for me to see the Padres stacking back-to-back wins at Wrigley. I have no play in game two. I would be floored at the Cubs blow of this series at this point, even with the questions in their rotation the next 2 days.
And I was thinking, it's been such, since this format started, I don't count 2020, I guess maybe you could, but the 3 years we've had this format, it's been sweep, sweep, sweep. 10 out of the 12 have been sweep. I just kind of get the sense we're due for some game threes. I mean, these teams are all evenly matched. The fact, and I know 1 year doesn't relate to another, it's a weird way of looking at it, but I don't know. I just got a feeling we got some game threes. It's weird.
Well, the other, how about the other thing? Game one winners in this format are 12-0 in the series. Like, that seems bizarre, right? even more so, like the sweeps thing. All right, it is what it is. But you have 12-0 with game ones, and look, I think it's very possible we move to 16 at this point, Will. I really do think it's possible we move to 16-0, which is kind of insane when you think about it.
All right, before we get your thoughts on football and get you out of here, just give me a minute or two on the Mets. Who do you blame? How painful was this? What was now that you've had a couple days to think about it?
It was a glacial moving fiasco, which, like, the only solace with this is that I really think they would have gotten plastered like the Reds are by the Dodgers. Like, they had no pitching left. It's kind of like, you remember 2016 when they lost to Bumgarner? And
sure.
Like DeGrom was hurt, Harvey was hurt, Mats was hurt. And they were basically down to like, it was Noah Syndergaard and Bartolo Colon.
And Robert Gonzalez.
Like, that was it.
Yes.
Yeah, Gazelle, like exactly, and Lugo before he was in the bullpen, like they were down to guys who just like you weren't beating the Cubs in a division series. With the guys they had, you just weren't. So like it kind of feels like that, but man, like this team is the best team in baseball mid June. Like I saw them play in San Francisco at the end of July. They were 17 games over 500 after they swept the Giants, and to have this collapse. Where the month of August, they have the best offense. They have the best offensive month in franchise history. And they go 6 games under 500. And then, you know, everyone points at the Marlins series. Once it got to that point, you kind of had a feeling that it wasn't going to end well. Once it got to that point. Really, the sequence that ended the season in retrospect, Will, some will even point to the Jacob Young nonsense catches on that Sunday. But the sequence that really ended the season was after they tied the game on Saturday against Washington, the next to last weekend, they load the bases, and Brandon Nimmo and Starling Marte come up with two of the worst at-bats they've had all season. Like, all you got to do is hit a fly ball in that circumstance, you win that game, and then you're in. Like, I think the last week plays out the same way. You're in, but look, in the end, it's on David Stearns more so than anything, and Will, it's a little bit of a concern for me because Stearns comes over as a wonder kid with all the work he did in Milwaukee, and all Milwaukee's done since he's left is win the NL Central 2 times. They have the best record in baseball this year. Also, Pat Murphy takes over for Council, and I think Pat Murphy's the best manager in baseball at this point. Stearns got basically everything wrong except for the Soto signing this offseason and at the trade deadline. And I think it's on him. I know a lot of people want Mendy's head. I don't know what you can do when every single pitching option you have, except for Diaz out of the bullpen and except for McClain in the rotation, has no idea what the hell they're doing. Like, I don't think this was Mendy's fault. Did he mess up some games? Yeah, he messed up that game in Atlanta they lost. He messed up another game down the stretch against Washington that he shouldn't have lost. But this is on Stearns. This is on Stearns. But look, I appreciate Steve Cohen coming out of the gate on Monday and giving that full-throated apology. Like, he knows they screwed up bad. Like, everyone knows how badly they screwed up, which is some self-awareness this franchise didn't have in the past. So, look, they'll get it right. I do have faith they'll get it right. I think that they'll have McClain and Tong and Sproat in the rotation from the get-go next year. I think all those guys are going to be good. I have no idea what they're going to do with Alonso. I would be pissed as hell if they don't bring Diaz back, who's the best closer in baseball at this point. I don't care that he's 32. You got to pay him whatever he wants. I still think Lindor and Soto is a great 1-2 punch. But this hurts in a year where no one was particularly great. Even though I think they would have got plastered by the Dodgers. You never know. It's baseball. And in a year with no dominant team, you can end up with some wacko team in the World Series.
Football.
Yeah.
Anything here on this Thursday night game, Rams 49ers, Rams up to 6.5.
Why did Kyle Shanahan and the Niners rush Brock Purdy back? That's my question. Like, I know Mac Jones was banged up too, but you can't, like, you have to have some like brains with this. Like, you're playing the best team, like, I know the Seahawks are off to a good start, but the Niners already beat them. Like, they already have a game in pocket on them. Like,
in Seattle, too.
If you're going to win the NFC West, you have to beat the Rams heads up if you're the 49ers. And you need Brock Purdy in the best shape possible. And he was awful against Jacksonville. Like, he was the reason they lost that game. That and that shoddy special teams on the punt return touchdown. I think this is too much on the surface, Will. But, man, Purdy on a short week. Where Kyle Shanahan was already talking about on Monday that Purdy had soreness, and now you got to go play a Ram front that is really good on defense, and Stafford has been awesome. Nacua is probably the offensive player of the year through the first month. This is tough for San Francisco. I think it's got a little out of hand at 6.5, but I'm not interested in taking it, Will. Not interested in taking it.
I think Ravens at plus 400 to miss the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, who could miss multiple weeks, is bettable. Texans could beat them. Texans could certainly beat them. Texans are favored now. They got the Rams coming up. This just with all their injuries on defense, and you got a running quarterback who's nursing a hamstring. I know it's a weak division, but at 4-1, man, we might just look back at week one against the Bills and say, you know what? It got off track that week one, and it never got back on track. What's your take on the Ravens here?
The Ravens have now been treated for a few years like when, Will, you've known me long enough. You know how crazed it made me when everyone was just blowing up the Bills all those years. I thought the Bills were treated like the Burrow Bengals were supposed to be treated for those years. Obviously, that looks a little foolish in retrospect because it sure looks like the Bengals were a flash in the pan because Burrow can't stay healthy. But this Raven team has accomplished nothing. And it seemed like 90% of people had them penciled in as the number one team power rankings wise going into the season. They have no defense now because of injuries. Zach Orr is clueless, terrible coordinator. I think we have enough data on that to know he's terrible. Harbaugh is the most overrated coach in the NFL, and it might be the most overrated coach of the last 30 years at this rate. He's lucky Joe Flacco won him that Super Bowl at this now. And Lamar is an amazing talent, all-time talent, but there's just something missing, and no one can put their finger on it. And now that he's out for a few weeks, you have to complete, and this is why I didn't love the Cooper Rush signing behind him. You have to change your offense completely now. You can't run the same offense with Cooper Rush as quarterback. You can't do it. So you're basically now, everyone should just stack the box against Henry and say, all right, if Derrick Henry can beat us with a 7 or 8 man box, so be it. And I don't know if they're going to win or lose against Houston because Houston's offensive line is a joke. And the only good game they played is against the worst team in the NFL. But Will, who has 4-1 on the miss the playoffs right now? Who has that?
I saw it today. Plus DraftKings plus 375. There's definitely a 4-1 out there. I mean, shop around.
Yeah, probably FanDuel or someone else. I mean, yeah. That's enticing. I am so mad at myself because I had the thought last week, like, hey, Baltimore's playing Kansas City. I like Kansas City all week last week against the Ravens. And I thought the wrong team was favored in that Ireland game. I thought Pittsburgh should have been favored against Minnesota with Wentz playing and all those defensive injuries on the Vikings. And I'm like, there's a real chance here that Pittsburgh is 3-1. Baltimore is 1-3. The Browns are the Browns and the Bengals are a disaster without Burrow. What's the argument? Even though I think Pittsburgh stinks, what's the argument against taking the Steelers? Like, Tomlin's going to get an extra 3 wins out of them. They already have 2 extra wins that they shouldn't have already this year. The Jets had them dead to rights, and New England doubled their yardage, and they lost that game to them. But I saw a plus 180 on Pittsburgh to win the division today, even after Jackson was ruled out. I think that's a really good bet at this point with all the data you have on that. And I don't even think Pittsburgh's any good, but Pittsburgh's got a pretty soft schedule. They always play Baltimore well. And, geez, if Lamar misses a month, the Ravens could be 2-5, Will. They could be 2-5. That's really hard to get yourself out of.
100%. Yeah, no, and it's moved now. I'm seeing plus 275 at DraftKings in the division, which was we did the show Sunday night, and I said Pittsburgh at plus, I think it's plus 270, plus 280. I think that's a bet. That's moved a full dollar, so they've adjusted it.
But I still think it's a bet at plus 180, Will.
Yeah.
Still think it's a bet at plus 180. We have a new data point.
It might just be 9 wins. They might, if Pittsburgh get to 9, and Pittsburgh always gets to 9, as we know, I mean, who's getting to 9 or 10 to beat you? I don't know that anyone is.
Can I ask you a question, Will?
Sure.
Can I ask you a question? What's Buffalo's excuse for not making the Super Bowl this year with everything that's gone on around them?
The defense is not Super Bowl worthy, but I get your point.
Like, they have the easiest schedule of all time now that they beat Baltimore week one. Like, they play Kansas City at home.
Win
and they
14.
Play
if Allen's healthy, they're going to win 14 or 15 games.
I think there's an outside shot that they're 15-0 going into that week 17 game against Philadelphia. Like, there's a real shot they could go 17-0, and I don't think they're this overly dominant team. I just think that they're probably the best team. They're the best team in the AFC. They might even be the best team in the NFL, but their schedule's the biggest joke I've ever seen. And everybody, look, I know people are going to try to pop up New England after they destroy Carolina. New England's an 8-9 team at best. The Dolphins are terrible. The Jets are coached by a total clown. And The Bills are so much better than everyone in that division. There's no excuse for me at this point, Will. Like, you cannot lose to Patrick Mahomes in your own building again if you're Buffalo. Like, that's what it's going to come down to. Kansas City, more likely than not, is probably going to go to Buffalo, whether it's the divisional round or the AFC championship game. And Buffalo's got to find a way to beat them this go around, because this has to be the year to win the Super Bowl, because there's no dominant teams in the NFC and the AFC. Well, I'm not sure there's three good teams in the AFC now that the Chargers have offensive line issues.
Last one, Eagles, 4-0, legitimate, like, Super Bowl champion. They're fine. Don't worry about the stats. Or are there major red flags with Philly?
Can I say both?
That's kind of where I've been, where I just feel uncomfortable because they just won a Super Bowl. Not only they're 4-0, they won at Tampa. They won at Kansas City. They beat the Rams. There's not only 4-0, they're beating good teams. And they're 20-1 the last 21 games? So it feels nitpicky. Oh, yeah, but they're yards for playing all this. But at the same time, it feels like that stuff usually catches up with you. So I have a hard time kind of parsing it.
You know, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC. Like, they completely outplayed Philadelphia for two and a half quarters in that game. And they should have won the game. Like, they had two field goals blocked. Like, that doesn't act like, by the way, also, what's up with all the field goal blocks this
year? I'm not sure.
Like, hey, that's one. That and the fumble punch are totally in vogue now. I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC. But Philadelphia, look, it's hard for this to turn into what happened 2 years ago. I mean, remember, they were 10-1, and then everyone wanted Sirianni fired after they collapsed down the stretch 2 years ago. So could that happen again? Yeah, it's possible. But look, if Jalen Hurts is healthy, he's never overly impressive, but the dude just knows how to win football games, man. Like, he just knows how to win football games. So it's a cop-out, I get it, but they're going to win the NFC East. Like, Washington's defense is terrible. The Cowboys, say, defense is historically bad, and the Giants are nowhere close. So, like, they're going to win the NFC East. It's just going to be a matter of, all right, what does Detroit look like when the playoffs come around? What do the Rams look like when the playoffs come around? I'm not buying the Packers. I think they're a paper tiger. I'm not buying Seattle. I don't trust Darnold in a big spot. I'm buying Seattle for the regular season, but not the playoffs, because I don't trust Darnold in big spots. But the NFC really, to me, feels like it comes down to, what form are the Lions and the Rams in, and does Philadelphia hold up, even though these offensive numbers are pretty ugly so far?
Jeff, this was long overdue. This is great. I appreciate you coming on. We picked a good time to do it because this MLB game, Dodgers 6-0, we picked the perfect time to kind of punt and just, we knew how to pick our spot here. We anti-Aaron Boone. We just had a good feel for the game and when to record here because we're missing out on the one game that we can miss out on.
Yeah, you know, and look, I'll say this, Will. I can't, and I want to just make sure this is on record before, because I don't know when I'll be on with you next. The winner of the Dodgers-Phillies series is winning the World Series. I'm just throwing that at you right now. Whoever wins that series, to me, is so clearly the best remaining team. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know who's going to win that series. I'm very curious, assuming we get that, what the books make that price on a Dodger-Philly series, because Phillies have home field. Dodgers have the better overall roster. Phillies, both bullpens are messes. I don't really love either manager. That's a hell of a series. Like, that is a series fit for a 7-game NLCS, and it's going to be a best of 5 DS.
Jeff, appreciate it, man. Where can we find you?
Sports by the Book, on YouTube, 10 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Football Frenzy with Hall of Fame Bookmakers is at noon on Fridays. And also, too, you can find me a few days a week on ESPN Las Vegas on Cofield and Company now.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you to Jeff Parles. Rate, review, subscribe. Posted this on Twitter. Doing a giveaway. $250. Just leave a review on Apple. Leave a Twitter name or some way to get in touch with you. So use your phone, girlfriend's phone, wife, friend, whoever. Trying to recoup. I had 130-140 reviews when we lost the feed. Trying to get those back. So we appreciate it. Started to see them come in, which is nice. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back Friday. Review all the baseball, preview all the football, our division round. will be set by then in Major League Baseball. We will be down to, what, 8 teams? So, exciting week. See you Friday.